Chapter 9. Food. In the late 1890s, as the germ theory gained prominence, a new invention came on the scene, the stainless steel roller press. This gleaming contraption allowed manufacturers to extract oil from hard seeds like corn kernels, cottonseeds, and soybeans. Primitive stone presses worked only for oily seeds like sesame, flax, and rapeseed and for oily fruits like olives, coconuts, and palm fruit. A traditional stone press extracts the oil slowly and without heat, so the final product is natural and tends to be healthy. Oil from cottonseed, a waste product of the cotton industry, was the first fabrication of the new mechanized press. Like all industrial seed oils, cottonseed oil oozes out of the crushed seed as a dark, smelly gunk, something no one in his right mind would consume. High-temperature processing, which involves alkaline chemicals, deodorizing, bleaching, and hydrogenation, a process that turns a liquid oil into a solid, transforms the dark gunk into a product suitable for its initial use, candles. Procter & Gamble, located in Cincinnati, perfected the refining process for this industrial product. But with electrification, the candle industry declined. What were they going to do with the expensive processing infrastructure in which they had invested? Feed the oil to people, of course. The result was a profound change in the food supply, something the world had never seen. It took about 40 years for industrial seed oils, as both hard, partially hydrogenated fats and as liquid cooking oils, to replace animal fats for cooking and baking. Cheap industrial oils from cottonseed, corn, and soybeans made the processed food industry possible, so cheap and so profitable that the industry had plenty of money for marketing campaigns and plenty of clout to influence university research and government policy. For years, health organizations including the World Health Organization have recommended a diet containing industrially processed vegetable oils instead of natural animal fats. No dietary change has ever been as deleterious to health as the advent of industrial seed oils, usually called vegetable oils, loaded with chemicals, intrinsically rancid, and lacking the many essential nutrients that humankind gets exclusively from animal fats like butter, lard, poultry fat, and tallow. They are a recipe for poor health. Chronic disease such as heart disease and cancer, kidney problems, Alzheimer's, and immune disorders have increased in lockstep with the increase in vegetable oil consumption. Moreover, the type of fat molecules in vegetable oil, omega-6 linoleic acid, can make our bodies more sensitive to the effects of electromagnetic radiation. We have trillions of cells in our bodies, and every cell is surrounded by a membrane composed of a double layer of fat molecules, called the lipid bilayer. These molecules are mostly saturated because, after all, they are animal fats. The other main component of the cell membrane is cholesterol. Together, the saturated fats and cholesterol ensure that the cell membrane is waterproof, thus allowing a discrete chemistry and a different electrical potential inside and outside the cell. The remarkable membrane is engineered with channels and receptors so that only certain compounds get in and out. Embedded in the cell's interior are the mitochondria, which help create energy. They are like tiny electric motors inside our cells. These two have a membrane composed of a double layer of fat molecules, most of which should be saturated, in order for the mitochondria to support efficient energy generation for our cells and bodies. As we explained in Chapter 8, the structures in your tissues serve to create microscopic enclosures where water structures itself against billions of hydrophilic surfaces. The areas of structured water have a negative charge. Inside the cell, structured water fills the spaces, creating what amounts to a web of fine wires to carry electric current through the cell and onto other cells. Good health depends on keeping this gelled structure protected and intact, protected from poisons, EMFs, and even negative emotions. The goal is to keep our own internal currents as safeguarded as possible against interference from 5G and other outside EMFs. Saturated fats serve as a kind of insulation in cells and tissues. On the other hand, the types of fat molecules in vegetable oils, called polyunsaturated fatty acids, do not provide the stability these structures need. When built into our cell and tissue membranes, the cells become floppy and leaky. They can no longer provide effective barriers that our cells require to function properly. Having adequate saturated fat in our cell membranes is especially important in the internet age because 5G and other EMFs increase the permeability of the cell membrane, which can result in a kind of starvation of all our tissues, with all sorts of unfortunate consequences, from fatigue to cancer. At least half the fat molecules in the cell membrane need to be saturated in order for our cells to function optimally. The fat molecule in our lung surfactants needs to be 100% saturated for the lungs to work properly. If our diet is lacking in saturated fat, the body will put polyunsaturated or partially hydrogenated fatty acids in the lung surfactants, making respiration difficult, with lung disease such as asthma and pneumonia likely consequences. Chronic lower respiratory disease includes chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, emphysema, and bronchitis. The lungs simply cannot work properly in those who consume a lot of industrial seed oils. Saturated animal fats also supply cholesterol, which is needed in the cell membranes to ensure the cells are waterproof so they can have a different electric potential on the inside and outside of the cell. Another important compound we get uniquely from animal fats is arachidonic acid, which is required for tight cell-to-cell junctures. A key function of saturated animal fats is to serve as carriers for a trio of fat-soluble nutrients, vitamins A, D, and K2. The levels of these vitamins were much higher in the diets of our ancestors and of non-industrialized peoples, for three reasons. First, most of the fats that our ancestors consumed were animal fats, butter, lard, poultry fat, and tallow. Second, they ate the whole animal, not just the muscle meats but also the organs, marrow, skin, and blood. The fat-soluble vitamins are concentrated in these organ meats, especially the liver. Even as late as World War II, Americans typically ate liver once a week, giving them a consistent dose of vitamin A. Third, animals were raised on pasture in the sunlight, which serves to maximize the amounts of these key nutrients in our food. Egg yolk from a chicken raised outside, the old-fashioned way, contains several times more vitamin D than does an egg yolk from a chicken raised in confinement, the modern, industrial model. Nothing can happen in the body without vitamins A, D, and K2. From growth to hormone formation, to energy production, to reproduction, this triumvirate of nutrients works together to protect us against toxins and enhance immunity. Vitamin A is particularly important for healthy lung function. The best sources are cod liver oil, organ meats from healthy animals, think liver, liverwurst, scrapple, pâté, and terrines, egg yolks from pastured hens, butter and cream from grass-fed cows, fish eggs, shellfish, oily fish, lard from pigs raised outdoors, and poultry fat and poultry liver from birds raised in the sunlight on green grass, all food items that conventional public health officials discourage us from eating or that modern industrial agricultural practices make it difficult to obtain. Modern eating practices rob us not only of these nutrients but of minerals as well, because the fat-soluble vitamins play a key role in mineral assimilation. Smoothies made from organic vegetables contain minerals, but these largely go to waste without the fat-soluble vitamins. Industrial seed oil production fills our bellies but starves our cells. The same can be said for industrial grain production. A triumph of industrial processing is the Chorleywood method, whereby grains of wheat can be transformed into loaves of bread in their plastic bags in 2 hours, also the high-temperature, high-pressure extrusion process, which produces dry breakfast cereals like Cheerios and Wheaties out of wheat, oats, and corn. Traditional, non-industrialized cultures from around the world did not eat grains in this way. Instead, they subjected them to a long, slow fermentation process, such as soaking oats overnight or even for several nights before cooking them into a sour porridge. Naturally leavened sourdough bread is a fermentation process that takes several days. In Africa, parts of the Middle East, and also in medieval Europe, slow fermentation of grains was the first step in creating nourishing beverages like sorghum beer and small beer, beverages of low alcohol content and high levels of nutrients, especially B vitamins. Small beer was a common beverage, even for children, in colonial times. Benjamin Franklin consumed it for breakfast, and George Washington had a recipe for small beer involving bran and molasses. Such a beverage would have nourished the gut flora by providing structured water around the fizzy bubbles and B vitamins galore. Grains that haven't been soaked, sprouted, or fermented are difficult for humans to digest and contain many anti-nutrients, compounds like phytic acid, lectins, and enzyme inhibitors, which block digestion and can even lead to mineral deficiencies. Modern grain products, including trendy, health, products like oat bran muffins and granola, fill the belly but do not nourish. Sometimes they even poison. The extrusion process used to make breakfast cereals creates neurotoxins. Gluten in wheat becomes toxic without proper preparation. Careful preparation transforms grains into real food, increasing B vitamins and liberating minerals for easy assimilation. The food industry solves the problem of modern grain processing by adding synthetic vitamins. In any event, overt deficiencies are rare in America, not because of the synthetic vitamins added to grains, but because most Americans eat plenty of meat. An interesting symptom in some COVID patients is COVID toes, red, inflamed toes, similar to pellagra toes, which is caused by a niacin deficiency. Scientists have observed a threefold depletion of NAD, a form of niacin, in the cells of COVID patients, a condition blamed on the coronavirus. However, exposure to wireless technology and microwave radiation can also deplete cellular forms of niacin. The obvious defense is to limit EMF exposure and consume ample B vitamins, especially niacin. Proper preparation of grains and sufficient animal products will ensure adequate levels of the B vitamins. Other obvious products of the Industrial Revolution are refined white flour and sugar and its modern evil twin, high fructose corn syrup. Refined sweeteners and white flour are the quintessential, displacing foods of modern commerce. Ironically, these refined foods actually play an important role in the diets of those avoiding animal fats. The body has such a great need for saturated fat to maintain the membranes and surfaces in the tissues that it has a backup plan in case our diets do not contain adequate amounts. It makes saturated fat from carbohydrates, especially refined carbohydrates. Unfortunately, this backup plan will not provide the fat-soluble nutrients we get from animal fats nor the B vitamins in their natural forms that we get from properly prepared whole grains. Instead, consumption of refined carbs serves as a fast track to the chronic diseases from which Westerners suffer: diabetes, heart disease, kidney problems, high blood pressure, and cancer. The vast majority of COVID victims suffer from one or more of these pre-existing conditions. Diets based on vegetable oils or even on olive oil often lead to cravings for refined carbohydrates. A return to animal fats is the first step to resolving the need for refined carbs. The embrace of plant-based diets, whether vegan, vegetarian, or just low in animal products, is another trend that contributes to nutritional starvation. Although some people report improved health when they embark on a plant-based diet, deficiencies will develop over time. The decision to avoid animal products often comes with resolutions to eat better in general and avoid processed food. Removing sources of vegetable oils, white flour, and refined sweeteners from the diet is only part of the process for regaining good health. The other part requires the consumption of nutrient-dense food. Although plant foods have a definite role to play in human diets, they are far less dense in vitamins and minerals than are animal foods. Long-term vegetarianism, especially veganism, often results in deficiencies of complete protein, the fat-soluble vitamins A, D, and K2. Vitamin B12, and four key minerals, zinc, sulfur, iron, and calcium. On the other hand, plant foods like beans, nuts, and grains tend to be high in copper, and a high copper-to-zinc ratio can dispose one to electromagnetic sensitivity. Lack of iron, of course, leads to anemia and fatigue. Sulfur supports mechanisms for oxygen transport in the blood. Both zinc and sulfur supplementation seem to help COVID patients. Best sources are animal foods like red meat, liver, and egg yolks. Vitamin A from animal fats and liver helps ensure that iron goes into the red blood cells where it is needed and that all minerals are used effectively. The body has a harder time using iron added to processed foods, like breakfast cereals and white flour, so it ends up in the soft tissues where it does not belong, so-called toxic iron, rather than in the bloodstream where the iron in red blood cells carries oxygen to the tissues. COVID and zinc deficiency have many symptoms in common: cough, nausea, fever, pain, abdominal cramping, diarrhea, loss of taste and smell, loss of appetite, fatigue and apathy, inflammation, and decreased immunity. Zinc-rich foods and even zinc lozenges provide real protection against this disease. One effect of 5G seems to be the stimulation of calcium channels in the cell membrane. This drives calcium into cells, essentially poisoning the cell, while lowering the ionizable calcium in the blood. The ionized calcium in the blood is used in the coagulation pathways to help clotting and prevent uncontrolled bleeding. If it drops too low, people hemorrhage. During the 1918 pandemic, many doctors noted that their patients died from hemorrhage, not pneumonia. Some doctors reported that IV calcium lactate kept people from dying. Soon after, Royal Lee from the Standard Process Company formulated a flu product called Congaplex, which contained calcium lactate, the same form of readily available calcium as in raw milk. In addition, raw whole milk from pastured cows contains compounds that strengthen the immune system and help us deal with stress and EMFs. The greatest tragedy of the germ theory has been its application to milk, nature's perfect food. Today, most milk is subject to pasteurization. In fact, most milk is ultra-pasteurized, a process that flash heats milk to 230 degrees Fahrenheit, way above boiling point, ostensibly to rid milk of harmful germs, but actually to lengthen shelf life. Unfortunately, pasteurization greatly lowers the vitamin content. One dairy industry study found that pasteurization resulted in lower amounts of all the B vitamins, especially B2, B6, and B12, and these were studies of milk that was merely pasteurized, that is, heated to 170 degrees. It's likely that ultra-pasteurization results in the destruction of up to 100% of the vitamins in milk. The minerals will remain, but the enzymes the body needs to assimilate these minerals are destroyed. Pasteurization destroys beta-lactoglobulin, which is needed for the intestinal uptake of vitamins A and D. Pasteurization in the name of the germ theory has resulted in the destruction of most of the goodness in milk, a prime food for growing children in Western culture. Pasteurization also renders milk proteins allergenic. Many people with milk allergies turn to milk made of almonds, peas, oats, or soy, which have dubious nutritional value. Raw, whole milk, especially from grass-fed animals, is a complete, easily digested food. It contains every nutrient that babies and children need for growth. It protects them from asthma and respiratory illness. It ensures plentiful calcium that is easily assimilated for strong teeth and bones. For the elderly, raw milk is equally nourishing. It protects the bones and nourishes the tissues, even when the digestive fires have waned. Raw milk is an excellent source of glutathione, a compound our bodies use for detoxification. Only glutathione from fresh, denatured whey proteins will work, that means from raw milk, not from pasteurized milk or whey powders. Alexei V. Polonikov of Kursk State Medical University proposes that glutathione deficiency is exactly the most plausible explanation for serious manifestation and death in COVID-infected patients. Raw milk can be of immense help in protecting us from this disease. Another important source of nutrients missing from modern diets, gelatin-rich bone broth made from the bones and cartilaginous portions of the animal, which nourishes the cartilage in our own bodies, and our bodies contain more cartilage than muscle. Bone broth is rich in glycine, an essential element in collagen that helps maintain structured water inside and outside of cells. Glycine helps create strong collagen in certain types of lung surfactants and throughout the body, and it supports detoxification. Animal feet, heads, bones, and skin did not go to waste in your grandmother's kitchen. They were thrown into a pot and simmered on the back of the stove to make a rich broth, basically melted collagen. This broth then formed the basis for nourishing soups, stews, sauces, and gravies, or given as just a mug of broth for optimal energy and good digestion. A much better choice than coffee. Unfortunately, the food industry has figured out a way to imitate homemade broth. The broth-based gravy that your grandmother served appears in imitation form as a kind of goop made with water, a thickener, artificial colorings, and artificial flavorings, especially monosodium glutamate, MSG, a neurotoxin. MSG appears in many canned and dehydrated soups and stews, bottled sauces, broth, in aseptic containers, salad dressings. Seasoning mixes, soy foods, which are intrinsically bitter, and even vegetable oils. Rarely labeled, MSG is a neurotoxin, not a nutrient, and another source of starvation for those who consume mostly processed food. Another important component of traditional nutrient-dense diets is fermented food and beverages. Raw fermented foods supply beneficial bacteria to the intestinal tract, preferably on a daily basis. These bacteria help digestion, liberate minerals, break down anti-nutrients, supply vitamins, especially B vitamins, and protect us against toxins. In fact, a recent study links fermented vegetable consumption to low COVID mortality. Fermented condiments like raw pickles and sauerkraut, fermented sauces like ketchup, and fermented beverages like kefir and kombucha are critical components in a diet that truly nourishes and protects. Unfortunately, the modern diet replaces raw fermented condiments with canned versions, makes heat-treated ketchup loaded with additives, and promotes truly toxic and heavily sweetened soft drinks instead of artisanal fermented beverages. The public first learned about the benefits of lactic acid-producing bacteria in fermented foods, especially fermented milk products like yogurt, from bacteriologist and Nobel Prize winner Ilya Mechnikov, a contemporary of Louis Pasteur. Mechnikov is credited with the discovery of macrophages, which turned out to be the major defense mechanism in our innate immune system. He proposed the theory that white blood cells could engulf and destroy toxins and bacteria, which met with skepticism from Pasteur and others. At the time, most bacteriologists, always assuming that natural processes are detrimental, believed that white blood cells ingested pathogens and then spread them further through the body. Unlike Pasteur, who believed that all bacteria were bad, Mechnikov credited the good health and longevity of Bulgarian peasants to their daily consumption of fermented yogurt and the lactic acid-producing bacteria it contained. Mechnikov, a colorful and passionate figure, twice attempted suicide, the first time by an opium overdose and the second time by injecting himself with the spirochete of relapsing fever akin to malaria. He concluded that it was his habit of eating Bulgarian yogurt that protected him against the spirochete toxins and allowed him to survive. He also experimented on himself and others by drinking cholera bacteria during the 1892 cholera epidemic in France. He and one volunteer did not get sick, but another volunteer almost died. He then discovered that some microbes hindered the cholera growth, whereas others stimulated the production of cholera toxins. He concluded that the proper cultivation of intestinal flora could protect against deadly diseases like cholera. We get these protective bacteria on a daily basis when we eat lacto-fermented food. An important component of fermented foods is vitamin C. Successful treatments for COVID cases include large doses of vitamin C, oral or IV. Your best dietary source is fermented veggies like sauerkraut, which is manyfold richer in vitamin C than is fresh cabbage. The food processing technology that accompanied the Industrial Revolution has allowed us to ruin just about every common ingredient that we put into our mouths, even salt. Salt is a critical nutrient for health, and especially for maintaining the difference in electrical potential in our tissues, which can protect us against EMFs. But modern processing removes all the magnesium and trace minerals from salt, and it adds an aluminum compound that prevents clumping, so your salt will pour when it rains. The solution is to use unrefined salt on your food and in your cooking, salt that contains a wealth of trace minerals and provides us with a daily source of magnesium. 1½ teaspoons of unrefined salt, the minimum adult requirement for sodium and chloride, actually provides about twice the minimum adult requirement for magnesium. Now take your diet of processed food, your frozen dinner, your canned soup, your carryout meal, and your leftovers, and zap it with the microwave. Little that nourishes will be left in such food-like substances.